Maybe that would help a bit. Any people young at heart who would like chocolate and are good at finding things, if there's anybody like that, would you like to come forward? Anybody who is young at heart who likes chocolate and is good at finding things. William, you're very good at finding things. Thank you. As I said, William's very good at finding things. Now, I've got five or six things that are hidden around the church. And if you guys could find one of those things each and bring them to the front, I would be so grateful, because that would help me to remember today's key memory verse. So do you think you could find something that looks quite like that? There are five or six of them dotted around the church. If you could find them, bring to the front, I'd be eternally grateful. Thank you. William, well done. Come to the front, please. Right, Nathan, you need to stand up. One out of five, one out of six. Not sure how many there are. Hello, you've got one as well. Fantastic, thank you. Two. Do you want to stand next to Nathan? William, well done again. And you've got one too. Could you stand here as well? That was a big ask. How many have we got? One, two, three, four, five. And Gordon's got one as well. Gordon, can you fit yourself in along the line, do you think? Now, I said this is going to help me to remember today's memory verse because I've got terrible memory. So on each of those pieces of paper, if you open them up, there will be a letter. And hopefully that letter is going to spell out something that might jog my memory. So if you could open it up and hold the letter up so that everybody can see it. Now, we've got a 1 in 720 chance that this is going to work. So if you could hold it up so the congregation can see. I can't actually read that. I think it says something like koimen, is that right? Koimen, which is not bad. So for today's countdown conundrum, can anyone in the congregation within 30 seconds think what word that might be? Jonathan's got an idea. Just want to see who else got an idea. Jonathan, what do you think? Monkey. You think it's monkey? Can we rearrange ourselves very quickly and get into the right order for monkey and just see if that's right? What does that word spell?
Monkey.
Yeah, we got there. If I could ask my volunteers just to take a seat just down here for a minute, and I'll try and explain what that was all about. Jane stepped in at very short notice to do the AV this morning, so I'm really hoping that Jane is as amazing as ever and that she might have a slide for us that will help us to work out where monkey fits in. Behold, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a monkey. Now, I've always been puzzled by that verse. I know who the king is. Who's the king?
Jesus.
Jesus is the king. I know that. And I know that he's a gentle person. But I hadn't realized that he came to us riding on a monkey. And it really does puzzle me because, firstly, as far as I know, there were no monkeys in Israel. Don't think monkeys lived in Israel, not in Jesus' time. Secondly, monkeys are too small to ride on, I always thought. And thirdly, suppose you could get on a monkey. What would it be like to ride a monkey? Just to be bouncing off all over the place, wouldn't they? Just be crazy. So I've never understood that verse. But I am convinced that if Jesus did want to ride on a donkey, he could ride on a donkey because Jesus can do everything. So I've always been quite cool with it. I just kind of go with it. But as I was preparing Someone very clever, much more clever than me, said, David, you got this wrong because I've got one of the letters wrong. Which letter had I got wrong? I got the M wrong, hadn't I? It should have been a D. So it's always good to try again. If we make a mistake, always try and correct your mistakes. So Jane, could you correct my mistake, do you think? Nope. Right, behold, your king comes to you gentle and riding on a donkey. And that makes a bit more sense. So I hope my silly mistake might help you to remember that verse, a different way of remembering a memory verse. Behold, your king comes to you gentle and riding on a donkey. Jesus is a king. He is the king. He's the king of heaven. And he comes to us gentle. He comes to us gently and riding on a donkey. He's our friend. And the thing is, we learn about Jesus by reading this book. And lots of us here think this is the best book that's ever been written. I think this is the best book that's ever been written. So it's important that we don't make mistakes with it. It's important that we really get to know what the Bible actually says, not what we think it might say. So speaking especially to all the children here, but I suppose to everyone as well, this is such an amazing book. We really need to get to know what it actually says. So I hope you will go home and you will read your Bibles this week coming up to Easter. Read about the Easter story. Listen to the Easter story. Get to know everything about the Easter story. This is the best book ever. We need to get to know it properly. So in a few minutes, Janet is going to come and read today's Bible story. Children, I hope you'll listen very carefully to that story. And I hope you'll go away and you will read the Bible for yourself. It's a wonderful book. Thank you so much for your help.
Our reading today comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 21, verses 1 to 11. Thank you. And you'll find it on page 988 of our church Bibles. Jesus rides into Jerusalem on a donkey. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus has instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their coats on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you so much, Janet. Well, it's very kind of John to give me a second chance this morning. I'll try and do a bit better this time. In my defence, I did get 99% of that verse right. But being out by just one letter can make quite a big difference, as I hope we can see. Asking a lot of Jane this morning, sorry. Next one, thank you, Jane. As we all know, a bird in the hand is worth two in the bus. And the next one. Poor old Professor Stone. And my favourite. Every time the doorbell rang, the dog started barking. I want a dog like that. So with thanks to the work of Graham Rawle, being just one letter out can make a big difference. So I will reiterate, we do need to know this book and what it really says. This is God's love letter to us, his advice to us, his telling us all about himself in this book and how we should live our lives. It's important that we really know it. So I do encourage us to really know the Bible and spend time studying it. If you don't know the Bible very well, or you're puzzled by some parts of the Bible, please do ask. We've got John, we've got Jane, we've got Brian, we've got Malcolm, who are all trained and really studied the Bible deeply. Please do ask. And better still, join a house group where you can work through the Bible and study the Bible with friends. Anyway, today I have picked out two things from the passage, and both of them you'll be pleased to know are donkey related. So we heard just now that Jesus sent two disciples ahead of him to a village to get him a donkey. And Luke's gospel adds some detail to that. It says that Jesus specified that it had to be a donkey that nobody had ever ridden before. I'm going to come back to that in a moment. Luke also tells us that as the disciples were untying it, the owners came out and asked, "What are you doing?" And the disciples, their reply was, "The Lord needs it." And that was that. It was sorted. Simple as that. The Lord needs it. So picture yourself as the owners of that donkey. What a wonderful thing to have played your part in that incredible day on Palm Sunday. How lovely to have been able to bless Jesus in that way. So my question to you today is this. Do you have a donkey? Do you have a donkey? Something that's not being used much, but which could be a great blessing to other people. So maybe it's a skill that you're not using, a second language that you know, a musical instrument that you play, a skill that you could pass on to the next generation or teach. Whatever it is, could it be used more to bless others? Maybe at a local school or a hospice or a care home. There are lots of opportunities. Do you have a donkey that could bless others? Maybe it is a physical thing. Maybe it's a second car, a second home, a spare bedroom, whatever it is. Do you have a donkey that could bless others? And my second point is going back to today's key verse, Matthew 21, verse 5. See, your king comes to you gentle and riding on a donkey. And I love that my king, your king, comes to us gentle, riding on a donkey. Because this is not any king, is it? This is the king. This is the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the Prince of Peace. And he comes to us gentle, riding on a donkey. It is a wondrous thing that we have a God like that. A God who comes close, who connects to us, who is intimate with us. I think that's such a special thing that we have a God who has a character like that. When I think of this passage, that humility is the thing that comes across most to me. But there's a second very powerful image at work here as well. And to spot it, I think that requires a sort of deeper knowledge of the Bible that I've been talking about this morning. So yes, the passage does speak about humility, but it also speaks of Jesus' kingship. In those days, peasants walked. Important people rode. They would ride on horses, on mules, on camels, on donkeys. Kings did ride on donkeys. But if a king did ride on an animal, no one else could ride on it. That animal was set apart for the king. Only the king could ride it. And in the Palm Sunday story, that is important. So here's the context. Jesus is called the Son of David. When King David was getting very old, there was a lot of confusion as to who would succeed him. He announced his successor as follows. He said, "I decree that Solomon shall ride my mule to Gihon and be crowned there." As David passed his mule to Solomon, he passed his kingship to Solomon. So when Jesus rode that donkey, a donkey that nobody had ever ridden before, he was assuming his position as the king. Many in the crowd that day would have heard Jesus speak. They would have maybe seen him perform miracles. They would have all heard the rumors, the whispers. Maybe this is the Messiah. So when he came into view, walking towards them on that donkey, when he came into that view, they would have nudged each other and they would have said, "Look, it's just as Zechariah prophesied." Those words we've been focusing on, "See, your king comes to you gentle, riding on a donkey," they are a prophecy by Zechariah in the Old Testament. So when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, he fulfilled that prophecy in public. His message was clear: "I am the king, I am the Messiah that the prophets spoke about. Truly, I am the Messiah." The prophecies are fulfilled. And so the crowds roar and they cheer. And the Pharisees, this is the moment when they really realize they've got trouble, that Jesus is a threat. And of course, within a week, Jesus would be dead. But within a week, Jesus would be risen. And as we look ahead to Easter next Sunday, I hope you will remember one other prophecy, and this one is from the New Testament. It's a prophecy that tells us that the risen Lord Jesus will once again be cheered in the holy city, in the New Jerusalem. Once again, he will be seated, but not on a donkey. He'll be seated on the eternal throne of heaven. Once again, he would be close by. Look, God's dwelling place is among the people. He will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them. Once again, a great crowd will cheer and shout, "Hosanna to the King of Kings." The best thing of all, though, if you crown Jesus as your king, you won't need to read about it because you'll be there yourself. And I hope to see you there on that great day. Amen.